Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would advise those who are using cell phones to either go outside or turn them off so as not to be distracting to the other members who are paying close attention. So I'm President Steve Fort of Braille Revival League of California, and why don't we go around and everyone can introduce themselves. And John will, I guess that's the one mic carrier that we have, so Mike Renner. So to my right is...
Marlene O'Neill, and I'm the recording secretary.
And again, please turn off your cell phones.
Hi, good morning. My name is Sylvia Reese.
Oh, hello. I'm Keith Lee. I'm on the board here as corresponding secretary.
Hello, this is Roger Peterson. I'm not nothing.
John Ross, treasurer.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Tuan Nguyen. I'm a member of the HEB Capital Chapter and Vice President of the California Council of Blind Students.
Connie Gill, we live in Seattle, Washington, but we're still members of the San Francisco Chapter.
And I'm Al Gill from Seattle, Washington, and San Francisco Chapter.
Hi, this is Josie Conklin. I'm from the Capital Chapter, Sacramento.
Diane Phelps from Solano County Chapter.
Okay, Katrina.
I'm Katrina McCurdy. I'm on the board of BRLC. They're having an election today, I think. But anyway, I'm from Alameda County Chapter.
Hello, my name is Monique McCorley from San Diego.
Okay, Steve.
Okay, how many members do we have to have a quorum? Yeah, so far. Oh. How many, Roger? Roger? How many members do we need to have a quorum? So, there's probably... Well, why don't we, since we don't have a lot of time, and if we can... Okay, I'm going to go on with... I'm going to turn this mic over to Martin. Huh? Okay, someone just came in. And do you want to just introduce...
Wow, I got the mic. I can talk for all day. Yeah. My name is Paul Leon, the Greater Bakersfield Council.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyone else? I
Okay, well, I think we have 13 members, and at some point, John Ross will be collecting dues for those who wish to pay in the spring, and we'll be...
Can I have order?
Yes, okay. So, and also collecting for the Braille Challenge for those who can afford to donate. And well, that's for lunch. That's right. We've done it the other way for so long that John Ross will be collecting. Okay. So I'm going to turn this mic over to a very capable recording secretary, Marlene O'Neill.
Okay. The fall 2011 conference and convention took place on October 27th through the 30th at the Crown Plaza LAX Hotel in Los Angeles. And the Braille Revival League was on Friday, October 28th. President Steve Fort called the meeting to order at 9 a.m., and we all introduced ourselves. Rex Ransom collected dues, and Linda Perel collected for the Braille donations for the Braille Challenge. Marlene read the minutes, fall to 2010 and spring of 2011, plus the treasurer's reports for spring and fall 2011. She also reread the treasurer's report of 2010, which was not approved at the spring 2011 convention. All reports were accepted as read. Linda Perel gave the nominating committee report. The slate of candidates is as follows: Steve Fort, president; Keith Johnson, vice president; John Ross, treasurer; and board member position one is Katrina McCurdy. elections will be held at the upcoming spring convention. Linda reported that Winifred Downing, the editor of the Braille Writer, was concerned that she got that Winifred gets no feedback from readers of the newsletter, and she questioned whether the newsletter should continue to exist. There was a lively discussion, and in the end, the members who were present felt that the newsletter should continue. Mike Keithley offered to work with Winifred and help with the technical aspects. The deadline to submit articles for the spring issue of the Braille Writer is March 1st, 2012. Judy Wilkinson, president of Kahlua, asked if BRLC would be willing to share our exhibit table so that people could pay their dues to Kahlua. Kahlua wants to expand their membership, and BRLC is very willing to help in that. She would also like to make sure the members get a receipt when they pay their dues. The business meeting was adjourned at 9:55 a.m. At our speakers meeting, the topic was Braille transcription with the changing tech. The topic was Braille transcription with changing technology, presented by our guest speaker, Tom Traer. He started transcribing using a VersaBraille. I remember those, yeah. And they learned to, and he learned to use a translator. He gave us a sampling of typical mistakes that translators sometimes make. For example, the word pioneer was, the ER sign is at the end, but the translator would output .50, and then the contracted form of one, which is a contraction form of one, and then the letter R. That's hard to write in Braille. I was trying to write. The word enamel would be misinterpreted as E and then dot five N, which is name, and then L. It worked. I guess you can't divide the syllables, though. Tom went on to use, he said he uses his Braille, and he also uses his Braille light. For an embosser, he uses the VersaPoint. He transcribes Braille for the Blind Community Center in San Diego, Braille's bulletins for his church, and occasionally produces menus and manuals. Tom's email address, if you want to have something brailled, is treher at cox.net. Yes. And his phone number is 619-234-1291. Rob Turner gave us an update on Bookshare, which received a $3 million grant. It was from the Office of Special Education Programs. Bookshare will soon be using Daisy Books with the Evona voice and will be playable on NLS machines. The company is also working on a reader app for the Android platform. They will attempt to develop a cloud-based reader so that the speech will be provided in the Android player. It will be an internet-based app, so as long as you can access the internet, you can read books, and no access technology will be needed. Rob also spoke about Common Core, a set of standards adopted by 44 states for textbooks with supplementary information inserted for each state as necessary. This standardization will help in the description of diagrams that appear in their 10 textbooks. Finally, he stated that Bookshare now has over 125,000 titles in its library, over 155,000 members, and boasts 130 publishers who supply books in electronic format. Respectfully submitted, Marlene O'Neill, BRLC Recording Secretary.
Okay, are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? Is there a second? Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you, Marlene. That was an excellent report. And next we have our treasurer's report. And for that, John Ross, our treasurer. Oh, Marlene's going to read the report. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Okay, as of opening balance as of November 1st of 11 is $2,874.83. Expenses, BRL dues, $450. BRLC dues, $50. Sweepstakes donations, $100. Total expenses, $600. Income from the fall 2011 fudge sales and dues, $1,127. Closing balance as of March 25th is $3,401.83.
Okay, are there any questions regarding the treasurer's report? Yes, Roger.
The second, you said BRL dues, and then you said BRLC dues. I think you mean CCB dues.
Okay, anything else? Yeah, Roger says we'll think up some penance for you. Those are familiar to those of us who are raised Catholic, but anyway. Okay, going on to our... That's right. Yes, Al Gill. That will be that will be the new business. Okay, and it's since the minutes were of the fall BRLC meeting, of course, it wouldn't. Okay, or the treasurer's report. So why don't we go on to the. Let's we do. Okay, all in favor of accepting the treasurer's report as presented with the correction, signify by saying aye. Opposed, abstentions? Okay, I'd like to turn this over to Linda Perel for the nominating committee report and election.
Hi, everyone. I'm a little late, stuck in resolutions as usual. So happy to be here. And since Marlene read the names of the folks that the nominating committee has put forward, I will just conduct each election, you know, one at a time until everything is set. So. How many? That's a good question. Can you take a quick head count? Everyone here is a member, right?
How many members in the whole club? 49.
So, do we have? Yeah, Roger. Roger does not know what the quorum rule is. Oh my goodness. I thought Q was your middle initial. So, all right. Well, what do we got?
I think we're okay.
You think we're okay? Yeah. All right. We're going to go ahead. So, in the first position for president of Rare Revival League of California, the nominating committee put forward the name of Steve Fort. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? And thank you. Yeah, indeed. So all those in favor? Aye. All right, that was easy. Okay, Vice President Keith. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah, good. He's always grateful. So, all right. So, second, for Vice President, we have Keith Johnson, who unfortunately was not able to make this convention, but is a stalwart and attends all the phone calls and has plenty to offer as well. So, he is the nominee from the nominating committee. Are there any other nominations? Any other nominations? Any other nomination? Okay, all those in favor? Aye. Okay, Now, here's the hardest working guy in BRLC. For treasurer, our nominee is John Ross. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? One more time, Roger, you're throwing me off my game. Are there any other nominations? So moved. All right. All those in favor, let's hear it. Aye. He's shy, but he's grateful. Okay. Now, for board position one, this is one of our most valued members because of her particular skill with sugar and tinfoil. That's it. So, Katrina McCurdy is renominated for board position one. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? So moved. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. And that concludes the nominating and electing process. No opposed abstentions. Sorry about that.
I finally got here. I was a little late. Thank you very much for your confidence.
And we might have a job for you in the fall. Hint, hint. Okay. All right, back to Steve.
Who should I give it to?
To Steve.
Okay, to Steve.
Okay. Yes. We did have the fundraiser, the welcome party with the California Blind Students. And would anyone like to report on that?
I talked to an artist, and we hook in a total of $160. And so, yes, we'll give half to the students, and the other half will go to us, to VRLC, and our board agreed that those that our portion of the funds should go towards the Braille Challenge. So I'll let Steve tell you about that.
And could someone refresh my memory as to our expenses? We each received $80 to a total of $160, and then how much did we... how much did the blind students and BRLC spend?
I was waiting until we got this information to sort of settle the account of the expenditures. I went shopping at Costco yesterday with my daughter and bought food and beverages for the event. And I want to say that I would like to donate the entire cost of the purchases I made to... unfortunately exceeded what we took in, so I couldn't make back what I spent anyway, so it's okay. And I will get my receipts both to John and Artis so that they can be noted as in-kind donations. There you go.
Okay, we're going to have our speakers meeting coming up. It's about 9:30. And is there any further business to come before this meeting?
Yes.
Yes.
We were going to ask Roger if he would be willing to be the delegate for BRLC, since I can't attend this time for the national ACB. Would you be willing to be the delegate? Roger? Okay. And also, I don't know if this is appropriate. I don't know how, but I'd like to make a motion that we give Roger $400 for his expenses. Yeah.
Okay. All in favor of giving our excellent representative to the BRLC, I'm sorry, Braille Revival League, national $400 to help defray some of the expenses. And all in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Okay, there is one other item here, and that is that all of you have received the Braille Writer for the spring, and Mike Keithley is our new editor and publisher of the Braille Writer, and we want to thank Mike Keithley for doing a really excellent job. I certainly do. Way to go, Mike. And so if anyone has any comments or suggestions, we can briefly go through those. Yes.
It's a little bit off. Well, just a little off topic, but I also wanted to, at some point in this thing, ask about Wynn. I hear that she's not doing too well. So, do we want Mike to say something? Mike?
Do I understand that Lynn is not feeling well? I didn't know. She did the embossing. I don't know if she intended to submit a bill. Oh, Winifred. Excuse me.
I just wanted to know if you know anything about Lynn.
Yeah, I'll talk about that.
But Linda says she'll do that. You just tell us what you want to tell us as editor.
Well, that's. I appreciate your confidence, and now I'll try to keep doing a good job. Thank you.
You're a good man.
Okay. Winifred, she's holding her own. She comes to our chapter meetings fairly regularly. It continues to have some discomfort, some back pain, and that is sometimes managed better than others. I hope to see her next week. She's still very vocal when she feels passionate about an issue. Nothing about that is ever going to change. It shows that she's, thank goodness, we'll keep her as long as we can keep her. And she has a woman that lives with her full time now that accompanies her places, because her children could not sleep at night knowing she was alone in that house and could fall and all that stuff. So they put their foot down and yeah, it's very steep, you know, San Francisco windy staircase. So, yeah. And some of our members see her regularly. One of our members, Charlie Doris, visits her on a weekly basis, and she calls me or whoever else on the phone whenever she thinks we need whipping into shape, and she calls Marlene. And, and Steve, yeah. So she is still the godmother of BRLC. Yeah.
Okay, we're kind of going back and forth between topics, but in a sense, it is the same topic since, you know, Winifred has been the editor of the Braille Writer for so long, and the deadline for the fall Braille Writer is September 1st for 2012. For anyone who wishes to submit articles, September 1st and noon, 12 noon. So, Pacific Daylight Time. We don't change our clocks back until October, is it now, or November? First week of November. Well, that's right. Yes, well, that gives us an extra hour. We're gonna keep the hospitality up until standard time. Yes. When 2 o'clock changes to 1. Okay, Marlene, you wanted to add something regarding...
Winifred made a suggestion for the Braille Writer. She suggested that when, Mike, when you put the phone numbers down for people, that you put, if it's H for home or C for cell, that you'd put it at the beginning of the line and then have the number. Okay? Thank you.
Okay. Is there any other business to come before this meeting? We're going to have about a 5-minute break. It's about 9:38 at this point, and we'll continue on at 9:45 with our speakers meeting. And yes, we have Lena Bandy. I have the pleasure to say, and Rob Turner later on will be speaking about Bookshare. I guess Rob's here, isn't he? Okay. No longer exists, Roger says. On that note, is there a motion to adjourn? Oh, dues are due and payable for those who haven't paid. And
$20 a year.
$20 annually. And John Ross will be collecting. 10 of it goes to BRL, and we keep the other 10. Okay. Is there any other business to come before this section of the meeting? Okay. There's a motion to adjourn, and there's a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you all for coming, and we'll be convening at 9:45 for the speakers' meeting. Thank you. Yeah. Hey,
folks, for those who want to pay their dues, if you haven't, I'm here. So just, okay. Thank you.
Thanks, John. We'll be back at 9:45. Thank you. Okay, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're running a few minutes late, but I wanted to contact our second speaker, who's going to be coming down. And I'd like to now turn the mic over to our guest speaker, who I'm really delighted to have. Oh, by the first, before I do that, Kathy Skivers sends her regrets that she can't be here this morning. She wanted to be here for the BRLC business and speakers meeting, and she's unable to do that because her son has a court appointment at 9 o'clock. He's a probation officer with San Mateo County, and was required to be at a hearing. So she's going to be here later today and tomorrow, and she's not able to get around as much as she used to, and you know, becomes tired more easily. So this may be the last convention she's able to attend in the flesh, but of course she'll be here in spirit and for years to come. And CCB and ACB wouldn't be without Kathy Skivers, that's for sure. So, and Roger wants to add here.
I just wanted to tell you something about that you reminded me of by talking about Kathy being there in spirit. Last year at the ACB National Convention, you know, it was our 50th anniversary, and we had at the banquet, instead of having a banquet speaker, we played ACB Jeopardy, ACB History Jeopardy, and I won the Jeopardy. And at the end of the banquet, I got a cell phone call from Kathy, who was listening at home on the web, and she said, "I'm glad you beat Paul Edwards."
Well, on that note, Lena Bandy has been waiting patiently, and welcome, Lena, to BRLC, you almost need no introduction. I'll turn the mic over to you, and you can speak. Yes, she does, and very, very rapidly and distinctly. So here's Lena Bandy.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I see. Good morning. I said Lena Bandy. I am the president of California Council of Blind Students. And I am here to talk about a few things. First of all, the National Competency in Literary Braille exam. By a sound of applause, since I'm unable to see you, has anyone taken that test? Taken the competency exam? Okay. That was my next question, what you've heard about the test, and that was an interesting response. So, basically, what this exam deals with is, it's four separate parts, and basically what it deals with is how, you know, your knowledge of the literary Braille code. And it is put on by a group that, well, basically is the Federation. However, they call themselves the National Blind Professional Certification Board. You know, so basically what it is, it involves a Braille writer exam, a slate and stylus exam, proofreading, and multiple choice. I took the test in 2008. It was still a fairly new thing at the time. And Junior Blind actually required it of us for the Braille certification in order to teach Braille, because I was the lead Braille teacher there at the time. So it was definitely interesting. I thank God they had it at CSB that year. And from what I hear, they're having it at Lighthouse this year, which is also awesome. When I took the exam, there were a lot of rules to follow. You know, I use a full page slate if I use a slate. Yeah. My background, I came from NFB first. So, right. I was going to say, so did a lot of people. And so, you know, I was at a training center, used a slate and stylus for 8 months. However, I'm still horrible at it. I much prefer my note taker or even my Brailler. Louisiana Center for the Blind, where this is pretty much being spearheaded, basically. Yeah. Yes. So I went, you know, I went to the Louisiana Center for 8 months, and I did do my slate and stylus. It was interesting in the competency test with things like timing, because your slate and stylus, you had an hour, while your Brailler test, you had 2 hours. Yes. And basically, all the test was, really, for these things is, with the slate and stylus and the Brailler, is you had something that was written in grade one Braille. And your assignment was to convert it to grade two Braille. It's extremely, I mean, they attempt to put, you know, words in there that might trip you up, although it was fairly basic. Like, they did, I think a lot of it was were focusing on a lot of formatting issues, such as centering. And we didn't have the new symbols yet. Well, we had just gotten the new symbols for, like, copyright and ampersand and all that. And so we weren't required to know those at the time. So pretty much the competency was fairly simple, although I thought it was interesting that the proofreading exam required you to circle errors with a pencil. So, you know, the sighted transcribing, you know, the sighted people that were taking the test, I'm sure, had no problems with this. I believe I had probably 5 circles on a couple of different errors just to make sure that I actually circled it. So, and for the first 3 parts of the exam, they gave you the American English Braille manual that they give you for the transcription transcription course. You're allowed, it's basically Braille competency test is open book, folks. So that, except for multiple choice, which, you know, which punctuation symbol is a period? was an example, or like she was saying, the minutes, which is the appropriate way to write pioneer. You know, you've got, yeah, and they'd have various, you know, either spelled wrong or contracted incorrectly versions of the word pioneer that you would have to pick from. So, all in all, because with the amount of time that they give you for this test, it's about 6 hours. I took it in 4. That included a lunch break, by the way. I passed. I passed on the first try. I am a lifelong Braille reader from the age of 3. When they started teaching us in preschool. I did my, you know, my slate and stylus. Yes, I had a couple mistakes. I'm not as good at that as, you know, the other people that were in training centers, because I used my note taker most of the time when they weren't paying attention. So that was the, you know, they have a practice test. However, their practice test was 4 years ago, inaccessible. Go figure. Yeah. The practice test was, I wasn't able to open it. When I called them, they said, oh, well, the only way you'd be able to, like, we only have the proofreading part because everything else is you would write this, or we only have the multiple choice. So I'm like, okay. And so you weren't able to get a sense of what you were intended to do. You had to bring your brailler. I borrowed someone else's slate because you must use a four-line slate. That is the only kind you are allowed to use. You are not allowed to use a board or any kind of aid. You are only allowed to use a four-line slate. Metal. Yes, metal slate. Yes. Yeah, I didn't either, so I borrowed one from CSB. Yeah. Yes, it was a 27 cell. Yeah, it's the ones like they give you at the training centers. Yes. Right. I understand. They give you a nickel slate, 27 cell. I was allowed to use my own stylus, so that was good. Yeah, I use board slates too. It's much preferred. And when you must, I had my first experience transporting a brailler on the plane. So that was interesting. You were required to bring your own brailler, and I had a next generation, so I borrowed a brailler from work since they wanted the regular brailers. Yes, the classic brailers. So that was pretty much, I mean, the test is $250 registration. That's pretty much the basics. A lot of the test is you just do, you know, you have your book and it's braille or print, grade 1 braille or regular print, and you transcribe it into grade 2 braille. That was the bulk of the exam. Before I go to braille in the workplace, are there any questions about the exam? Supposedly, yes. Yeah, it is voluntary at the moment. Yeah, what they're working on getting it required as just like the O&M certification that they have. It's a similar situation. It's actually run by the same people. Yes, and because it's an alternative to the generally accepted certification, many times it's not accepted. A TVI credential in whatever state you are, teacher of the visually impaired credential in whatever state that you are in. So, for example, I can teach at Junior Blind. Most likely I'd be able to teach at places like Braille Institute, or society, Sacramento Society for the Blind. However, I would not be able to teach in Los Angeles Unified School District where I live because I do not have a TVI credential. Right, I'm still a student. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm 24. Yeah, I'm a junior in college. I'm working on going to CSUN since it's a lot closer to where I live. I'm a junior, and I go to I go to Cal State Fullerton at the moment. Yeah, so it's the commute's kind of ridiculous, so I'm looking to transfer to CSUN and continue my psychology degree. Any other questions on the competency? Okay, cool. So the other topic I've been asked to speak about is Braille in the workplace. And, well, my first job was as a Braille teacher, so that's sort of, yeah. Braille is 100%, well, no, Braille was 98% of my job. The other 2% was computer tracking reports and things like that. Excel, you know, learning about taking attendance and marking it in Microsoft Excel. And, you know, tracking notes through Microsoft Word or staffing reports, just things like that. The rest of my job was teaching students Braille as well as maintaining the rather expansive Braille library at JBA. So it was, you know, making sure things were in alphabetical order and not falling off the shelves or making sure everything got returned and put back and things like that. It did not require a master's degree in library science. It required a high school diploma and apparently the NCLB test. So it was, you know, that was the basic Topeka Drive Elementary School, Nobel Middle School, and Birmingham High School in Los Angeles, all public schools. Yes, it is. It's. I lived in West Hills, and now I have come back and live in Sherman Oaks. So yes, I'm back in the valley again. Yeah, I certainly could get all those emails. So basically, my next job was rather interesting. I worked as a canvasser for a political organization, and basically what that meant was I was one of the people standing in front of grocery stores or Starbucks calling for people to stop and talk to me about my political issue. Yes. And most canvassing organizations will say, oh, you're blind, that's too difficult. And this one did not, gave me a chance, and I was promoted to staff within a week and promoted to trainer within 2 months. I no longer work there, which is, it was a issue of quota, you know. After Christmas, it can get sort of difficult for people to want to donate money since they've spent most of it on presents and food and all the other different, you know, holiday fare for their respective holidays. So as a canvasser, as the first blind canvasser, I was the person who was commissioned with coming up with the Braille system that would work for blind canvassers. What I did, they give you a binder. And it has things like petitions, it has pictures that you can show people, it has congressional scorecards and all different things. So what I did, of course, the basic, was I created dividers. So they have binder tabs in there, and what I did was take them and braille them, and then stuck them in at different places. So for example, I had a binder that said paper that said membership form, and I'd only punch 2 holes, so I'd either put it like on the top 2 holes or the bottom 2 holes so that they were kind of sticking out and you could feel them all at once. So it was basic, like I could feel the one that said sustainer contract and I could feel the one that said member form so that I could flip to whichever one I needed to flip to very quickly. And it's similar to labeling, except that I just did it on the paper itself. And the other thing I did was, which people, sighted people actually thought was really cool was I brailled on the bottom of the paper so that I knew what it was as well. And, like, people thought it was very fascinating to see, like, oh, braille. You know, it was an awareness thing. So, you know, that was one way, a conversation piece, too. Like, people would start asking questions about, oh, well, oh, that's braille. That's what that looks like? How cool. Some of the other techniques that I learned and passed on to students when I was teaching were things like the way to place your file or to where to braille the name of the file. So like on the tab and have it placed a certain way so that you aren't reading upside down. Or you put the name of a person on the, you have like the name of a person in your Rolodex facing up so that it's very easily accessible. And yeah, what? Yeah, it's basically a game of like make sure that you're not, just because you're able to read upside down does not mean you have to. So you can use the brailler. There were several labeling devices that I used. I used the brailler attachment, which basically looks like a long metal piece with a little hole in it for Dymo tape so that it doesn't get sucked all the way into the brailler. There was this latent stylus, which again I didn't use so much. And then there's the braille labeler, the infamous Dymo tape braille labeler label gun where you squeeze it on what letter that you want it to braille. The problem with those was the moment you dropped it, it didn't work anymore. Yes. And very often people would get gibberish, especially after they dropped it. It didn't really work anymore again. Yes, it does. It absolutely does work. Because I'm slower and I'm a lot faster on a Perkins brailler, I prefer the brailler attachment. Yeah. Wow. Oh, that's brilliant. I hadn't heard about that. Uh-huh. That's exciting. One of the cool things that we also worked with was, you know, we worked with jumbo braille labels. Because we were able to use the attachment, we could do jumbo braille for the diabetics. So we had a lot of, I had several students with neuropathy, or even if they didn't, like there, I had one student who wasn't diabetic, however, he was a stonemason. You know, so I'm talking about 18 and older. There are some, you know, diabetics that are younger as well, and they also needed it. And so they were also just as able to learn how to put labels on things, as you know, and use them. They used grade one labels for the most part. However, you know, it was something that could be taught to all the students at whatever level they were, grade one or two or three for a couple people. So, you know, it's, yeah, of course. Yeah. We taught out of Braille series. I do too. They attempted to switch us to Braille Connection. That one is, well, Okay, yeah. That one, in my opinion, is fairly ridiculous. Yes. It did. I love the Braille series. That's the book that I taught most out of. The Braille Connection, my problem was mainly that it didn't have stories, and then you had like a workbook, and then you had a practice book. No. So it was just, and it was like 20 volumes. It was really insane. Not actually, it was surprising that they actually did that. I had several students come in with these huge boxes of books, and they're like, I don't know what this is. Can you? There was a lot of confusion around the workbook versus practice book. And they just used the same words a lot. Like, my students became very familiar with the word beef early on, and it just wouldn't stop. Yes, I agree. Yeah, I definitely agree there. It was fabulous. That was part of my work, too, was discussing with Shirley, my supervisor, basically, what the best curriculum was for them, as opposed to what was cost effective. Okay. I taught probably, it depended, anywhere from two, one, I've taught a couple one-on-one per class, although that was rare, all the way up to, at one time I had 23. That was, yeah, we had, my average though was probably somewhere from 6 to 12. Oh, I taught I taught like for an hour and 5 minutes each class, and there were six classes.
Maybe, yeah. Sure.
Thank you. The California Council of Blind Students, in conjunction with the Education Committee, is putting on what we're calling Braille Quest as opposed to Brain Quest. And it is basically a Braille B. It's a competition type thing it's a game at different levels, from people who know about Braille to people who are, you know, veteran lifelong readers. And that's taking place tomorrow at 10. That's part of the CCBS meeting. It's from 10 to 12, and we'd love for anyone to participate. Leslie, Tom, Joni Patchy, and myself are going to be the judges.
Okay, we have a few minutes left. It's about 17 after 10, and we'll probably end around 10:30. And I'd like to welcome Rob Turner, who's going to give us an update on Bookshare. And so without any further ado, here's Rob Turner.
Oh, my goodness, I'm sitting by our second vice president here. Okay, well, thanks, Steve. I always appreciate the opportunity to say a few words about Bookshare and what's going on over there. So, as usual, I'll start off with just the information about the number of members and the number of publishers, and I really don't have the latest figures, but I do know that we are over 180,000 members now and well over 130 publishers. I think it's more like 150 now. It's really continued to grow, including quite a number of new university presses and some other major ones. If you want to learn about our publishers, you can just go to the website, and there's a publisher's link right on that front page where you can actually see a complete list of the publishers that are donating electronic books to us now, or furnishing, I should say. The other project that we're working on, which I think is pretty exciting, for me at least anyway, is the MP3 audio Daisy audio. So it's at this point, it's in beta. And you'll notice that when you go to our page now, there'll be a new link that you can choose that will say download an MP3. In zipped MP3, I believe it says. And at this point, what results, it's still in beta, so there's a couple of things that have been confusing some of the members. The first thing is that the books take if the book has not been converted into MP3 format yet, the packaging can take several hours or even longer. Now, that will begin to change as we continue to move forward. The other thing that's been a little bit confusing is because eventually these books will be actual Daisy audio and as well as Daisy text, but at this point they actually come with other files in the folder, and so people have thought it was Daisy audio, and they try to put it in their in the folder where Daisy books would normally go, and of course they wouldn't play properly. But the voice is excellent. It's a voice from Ivona, and I don't know the name, but it's a very clear, very, very nice-sounding voice. I don't want to get too many people doing it yet since it's, like I said, it's still in beta. But if you do want to try it, you know, just be patient and allow plenty of time for the download. And eventually, my dream and what I really hope they're able to do, and it looks like they will, hopefully by the end of the year, is that when you download a Daisy audio book, what would happen is you would be listening to the book on your portable Daisy player. You'd be hearing the voice with the Ivona pronunciation, with that voice. You would also be able to switch between the Daisy text and the Daisy audio mode. And in Daisy text mode, you'd be able to search for or spell words. So in other words, we're going to ideally have the best of both worlds. That was the original idea. Because Daisy, they want to have full text, and that's the richest form of Daisy, and because it lets you navigate, set bookmarks, and do all that stuff, and so. Mm-hmm. Search for. Our Read to Go app continues to improve. I had a great experience of reading Daisy books in grade 2 Braille with my iPhone. I'm able to set the iPhone to do the translation and using VoiceOver. And so that's been a nice breakthrough. And like I said, they continue to improve the app. One of the things they're working on, too, is to change the internal structure of the Daisy books so that no one particular file is overly large. And the idea that this is that this will make loading of the book much more efficient, and also much less taxing on the device in terms of the memory management that the device has to have. Because, you know, a lot of these portable players, I mean, they're not, you know, there's a limited amount of memory and so forth to work with. So I think that project's coming along. The other development is our new Go Read app, which is available for the Android market. I haven't had much experience with it. For the most part, other than with a screen reader that you have to buy, there is no Braille support built into the Linux, built into the Android operating system as such. It's not like the Apple platform. Hopefully that's going to change. The other reader that works on the Android platform is one called the Darwin Reader, and that can work even though it's not officially supported by the Kindle Fire or the Nook or the Kindle Fire especially. There is a way to get it to work if you can purchase a free trial. I don't know all the details of that, but you can always call me and I can work with you on that. The next goal, which is still a long way off, but we're heading in this direction, is a cloud-based reader, so that you, no matter what you're using, if it can go to the website and log in and so forth, the reading will be done basically through the cloud. So you won't really even need a Daisy reader on your machine. And that's an ongoing project. It's busy there at Bookshare because we're getting ready to submit a proposal for the next 5-year grant for the Office of Special Education Program. Programs. And so we're hoping to win that award. And if so, then we'll be able to continue in the way we've been going. My contact information, I can be reached for customer support, 650-644-3422. That'll get to me directly. Or you can send an email to Rob T, for Rob Turner, robt@bookshare.org. And that's another way to reach me. So, any questions? Okay.
This is Linda. Couple of comments. I tried one of those Daisy MP3 download things, and yeah, the packaging takes, unzipping, whatever you want to call it, takes a long time. And I wasn't quite successful in getting it, you know, all the way over to my Victor stream, but I'm going to keep at it. I love Read2Go. It's really great to have a few books on the phone and be able to just listen anywhere and not have to take the stream along. What I particularly love about Bookshare is the availability on the date of publication of hot books that people want to read because of the arrangements they have with publishers. I've been studying this year to be a life coach with Martha Beck, and she had a new book come out on December 27th, and supposedly the CD audio was supposed to be the same day, but it was delayed a month. But Bookshare had it on that day, so it was fabulous.
So, Rob, how much of your library is now from the old source of getting scanned books from blind people? Sounds like you're getting a lot of things directly from publishers and other sources where you don't have to do all that hands-on stuff that you used to have to do.
Yeah, I believe it's up to about 70% now from publishers, and of course it continues to increase. But there still are volunteers scanning, and it's a very active community. We've got scanners and proofreaders, and they look at the list of publishers that you know they make sure that they're not going to be submitting electronically, and then they just scan those books that are what they call safe.
Paul Edwards is leaving his job, he'll probably even do that.
Yeah, really? If Paul Edwards was one of the... he was definitely one of the top submitters of books, especially early on. He really had a lot to contribute. Okay, I can hand you the mic here.
Okay, thank you. This is Maria. I wonder, how do we determine what books we put on the Bookshare?
Okay.
Please.
I'm not sure what you mean exactly.
How are they selected?
Oh, well, in other words, there's not really a selection process. One of the nice things about Bookshare is that the volunteers really determine, which books they want to scan. So, we probably have a lot. I can guarantee you that we have a lot of books in our collection that the National Library Service would never consider. I mean, some people kind of joke and they say, "We got one of the." We could be one of the top porn because really the people scan whatever they want. You know, if somebody's into erotica, well, that's what they'll put in. That's right. Well, thank you very much, everybody.
Thanks, Rob. I think I might have gotten this poor guy out of bed. And we'd talked about it before, but so many things go on, and you know, I forget stuff. Everyone else does too, and we want to welcome you back on our next meeting on Friday, November 2nd, to update us on Bookshare, and it's a very vital topic of interest, and one that people have a lot of questions regarding. And thanks again, Rob. Let's give him a big hand. Okay. Yes. Sure. It'll be a minute.
Microphone.
Hi, this is Joan Groves. I've been out of the loop for a little bit with conventions, and although I still get publications from BLRC, I don't think I paid my membership in January because I didn't get anything in writing. And it just slid by me. Okay. So how much is the membership?
20.
I will pay you in cash if I can have a receipt.
At 10:45, Kahlua meeting will begin, and it's I want to give people a chance to stretch, clear out. Yeah, Linda wants to make an announcement.
Lucky me, in the drawing that Ed had for tickets for various meals for this week, I got drawn to have a ticket for this luncheon, and I had already bought a ticket, so I decided I would bring this extra ticket with me and give it to somebody who might be hungry at lunch today and who hasn't bought a ticket. If there's anybody in the room, they can quietly approach me, and I will give them a ticket.
Okay, thank you very much, Linda. That's really gracious of you, and it's a wonderful note to end on, and I want to thank all of you for coming today and participating in the meeting with your questions and your interests. And Braille and Bookshare and all the topics that really make us sort of unique, our interests unique. So thank you all for coming and have a good rest of the convention, and we'll see you again at the Crowne Plaza LAX on Friday, November 2nd for our next Del Mar, okay, that's changed. They've changed it. Oh, okay. okay. Yeah, okay with me too. So it's going to be at Del Mar Marriott, yeah, down near San Diego. That's where the fall convention is going to be for the next 2 years, beginning on November 1st through the 4th. Well, that changes my plans. Next, Northern California will be in Sacramento at the Crown. No, I'm sorry, the Hilton Arden West. Good old Hilton Arden West. It's easy to get around in. And they really want us there. So, I don't have the exact dates for next spring's convention. If someone else has, perhaps you can, we'll find out anyway. I don't have the exact dates for the spring 2013 convention at the Hilton Arden West, but we'll find out. And that's also for 2 years, for spring 2013 and spring 2014. Yes. Well, I'm glad we... I shouldn't editorialize. I was going to say I should... Anyway, thank you all for coming, and we'll see you in lunchtime. Thank you.